Feel better with it if I
Yeah.
tell you 3, 2, 1. JK, we've been recording this whole time.
It.
Pretty much from the count in.
I'm trusting you when you start it, because I'm not looking at the screen that shows recording. So
yeah. No, that's great. It's great for me.
But fuck you.
Hey, well, Jose, you look like you just took a puff of smoke and trying to get it to go away.
It's it's these scentsy things that I burn. They're like cones, and they burn and they smell amazing. So I've been trying to. It's, I feel like my office smells like food. So just.
I used to have a dragon one that I used to get from the flea market all the time, and I get those little scent cones, and they'd sell them like 20 per dollars or like whatever it was. And it was cool because the smoke would come out of the dragon's mouth. It looked like,
not
only does it look cool, but it was giving off a good scent.
Hell yeah, man. All about good scents these days.
Yeah.
Well, now that that's out of the way, welcome in, everybody. Week 5 recap episode. Just 3-man crew today. Myself, Jose, and Fonz.
What's going on?
What's up? You know, it's funny, actually. I was breezing through the week 5 preview to see how right or wrong we were before we just kind of brush up before this. And honestly, every time William spoke, which was not a lot, but every time he spoke, I was like, oh yeah, Will's here. I honestly forgot he was even on the episode. And it felt like it was us three having a conversation. And then randomly you would just hear Will talk. I'm like, oh fuck, I keep forgetting he's even in the room.
I felt that way too. And even when we would call out, what do you think, Will? All right, Will, thoughts? Like, there was a long pause. And so I was like, wait, was he there? Like, are we messing? Are we just joking around? And then he'd say something or whatever. So yeah, I felt the same.
Oftentimes saying something we had already said or just said. The recent one was, I don't know if you guys talked about this, but Malik Nabers might not play.
We literally just said that. Yeah,
we did just talk about that. Thank you. Thank you for joining. So we won't have that today for whatever that's worth. And Castro, if you even remember, he's part of this show. He's in the middle of getting Hurricane Milton is sweeping its way through Florida, or it's about to anyway. Castro was a little unclear on the phrasing of his text, but given his absence, I don't think he's coming.
Love the dramatic effect of it all, though. Like, we asked for clarification and we got none. So hopefully you're all right and you're out there doing okay, Castro. But yeah.
Dude, yeah, they were talking about like the prediction of like how much rainfall was going to come through. Like, it was going to be like over, like, nobody that's in one above two above one story was going to be safe there. And I was just like, what the hell, dude? That's crazy. And then, not to mention the high winds that are coming through. I was like, why is anybody still there? It's just wild.
Yeah, that's the question of the week. I really didn't know much about it until the last 2 days, just kind of seeing posts and footage. And I guess because it jumped from a cat one to a cat four to five, I think it's five, pretty significantly. And then it's just, God, it's gloom and doom. I saw a meteorologist literally like choking up, crying as he was giving the messages, because I guess he could foresee all the destruction that was about to come. And exactly like you're saying, the amount of people that are just going to be like, nah, I've been through hurricanes before, but yeah. We'll see. I saw a video today of some dude literally took, you know, those like straps that you put on like a truck, like what was little, like the pulley latch system. He did that to his house. He got straps that went from the backyard all the way to the front. He had like 5 of them. I was like, well, that's all well and good. It won't blow away, but what if it fills up with water? What are you gonna do with that?
He's like, yep, this thing ain't going anywhere.
Either way, hopefully everyone comes out of that safely.
Definitely won't. We'll see the body count over the weekend.
Oh my God.
And hopefully people heeded some warnings. But yeah, we're not that kind of podcast. So Castro's not here for that reason. I actually don't even know if he's in the path. I haven't looked at the map or where it's supposed to hit or whatever. But I guess we'll find out. Maybe we'll get some cool videos. Anyway, on a lighter note, Justin and I were talking about cars today. Don't know why. I don't even care for cars very much. But you know what it was is I was talking to him about efficiency because he drives so many miles all over DFW between his home to not just the Frisco, which is kind of far, but his home to his kids' practices and his son's soccer practice and his daughter's dance school and then recitals and groceries and back and forth from the Star and doctor's appointments. He triples my mileage, I think, on a monthly basis. It's wild. And his last car lasted almost like 300,000 miles. It was a shout out to Honda. I think it was like a Honda Pilot that just he drove into the ground. And I was talking to him today, just kind of feeling, I was like, why don't you get something just electric or something that, you know, runs off very little gas. And he was talking to me about efficiency on that front and logistics of it and blah, blah, blah. And somehow you came up, Jose, or no, he goes, I would get a Tesla if they didn't seem so douchey. And I was like, Teslas aren't douchey. And I was like, I actually have a friend that just got a Tesla. And he goes, these.
What the fuck, Justin? JB, what the fuck?
I don't think it was directly correlated to the last thing he had said, which is like Teslas are douchey. It was more like if I had a friend that was to buy anything nice or like futuristic or modern, that you'd, I think that's where it was originated from. Because then he went on to say, he's like, yeah, no, Deez and I, we used to go have coffee dates together in Vegas in the mornings. We were the only two that would go do this and that. But I go, no, he doesn't drive that. He drives a big ass truck. And he goes, Deez? And I go, yeah. He goes, he doesn't seem like a big truck guy. I go, what does that mean? And I go, I bet when I tell him that, he'll ask the exact same thing. What does that mean?
I'm interested to know what that meant. Yeah. Like, I both sides of that equation. Like,
you're not man enough, Deez.
So randomly, I text Jose asking, because Justin goes, what kind of truck does he drive? I go, dude, I have no idea. I don't look at cars very much. It's big to me. It's bigger than what I drive. But that's about it. And so, yeah, Jose got a random text in the middle of the day asking for his make and model. It was car. I think it's a sizable truck.
2015 F-150 XLT quad cab, Justin and listeners. So let me know. I'll pick you up. We'll go for a ride and prove I'm not douchey and I'm worthy of a truck. So, but to be fair, I am looking at an EV in the next few years. I don't think I'd go Tesla. I might go Rivian, but I need to do some research into that EV market. But hopefully by then, in a couple years down the road, they're a little bit more advanced. And yeah, hopefully that's how it pans out. But
yeah, I think I found one recently. I was going through like old what's it called? Media. I almost said meta. Media, just photos and videos I was trying to find a walkthrough I had sent you of like an apartment for other purposes. And I found a photo of a car and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot you were telling me you're about to like pre-order. I couldn't remember any details about it, but is that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, I did pre-order, but it was like $100 to pre-order, and maybe you'll get a chance to order it in 2 years' time. And that, I think that was at the beginning of this year. So yeah, we'll see how that it's refundable in case, you know, you decide, you know, you don't want to go through with it and whenever that's ready, but that's what it was for.
You got your ticket in the line, in the yep. queue. Well, anyway, Justin can clarify that. Maybe you guys can have some words over coffee and he can tell you exactly what he was thinking with those. But
anytime.
Yeah. That aside, yeah, I'm really not much of a car guy. Fonz, if you had your dream car right now, can't say Rivian, can't say Tesla, can't say F-150 quad cab. What would it be?
Oof. I think I had to go a muscle car. One that roars loud. Something like, God, I really loved the Trans Am that I had.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, Pontiac that thing Trans Am.
I don't know why you love that thing. That thing was the bane of your existence for a while.
Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
It was always breaking down, just something, not necessarily the engine, just there was always just something wrong that I had to fix. So it was a money pit. Had to give it up.
So just any muscle car.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about. I never researched any brands or anything like that, so I couldn't tell you, like, why, like a specific brand and why that would be my choice. But yeah, right now it'd just be any muscle car. But I love trucks though. That's actually what I want to get next is a truck, a nice big old truck.
I got a seller. In a couple of years.
Yeah.
We'll talk. We'll talk.
I want a brand new one, dude.
Oh. Yeah, last time Fonz bought a car from a friend, it was at Trans Am, and it didn't go so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story we just talked about? Yeah, my bad. My bad, Fonz. What about you,
Maybe Mark? Fair to say. Oh, I don't give a shit about car. Like, my dream is whatever is the most fuel efficient and is really cheap to repair and replace.
And paid off.
Yeah, and then has like a really small, and maybe that gives like buyer rebates, like state rebates for fuel efficiency or whatever.
Would you drive around one of those two-seater vehicles that has like no trunk space?
I don't know, because I sometimes like live out of my car. I definitely sleep in it from time to time. So like my top three criteria would probably be fuel efficiency, cost, and how comfortable it is to lay down in the back, like legroom for sleeping purposes would probably be it. And then, you know, I guess what it looks like would be fourth on the pie chart of the thing. But yeah, don't care. It's just a way to get back.
Yeah.
Sounds very adult.
I don't think that answer really surprises anybody that would have asked me about.
Yeah, if you know Mario, that's on brand. That's right. That's the correct answer.
Now, if they're like, again, it's going to be efficient, because like, let's say I was in Justin's situation, who's got a wife and two kids, and people that care about him, then I would immediately shift. Like, fuel efficient would probably be the way to go again. But it's like, all right, what kind of entertainment does it have? Can I have the kids watch a movie in the backseat? Is it cheaper to install like my own personal iPads? How many charging stations does it have for that stuff? How easy are the seats to clean when they spill food and drinks? So like that kind of stuff would start to weigh into it, but it's all effectiveness, like what it looks like and the noise it makes. I don't really care.
Yeah, appearance would be like second on my list. I'm not driving around in a beat up vehicle. It's gotta meet a certain appearance threshold for me, but yeah, no, I get you.
I think my first car was older than I was. It was like,
that's true.
It was like 17 years old when I got it, and I was 16.
I remember that car. That was a fun car.
That car cost $600.
So. There's plenty of sleeping room in the back seat right there.
So yeah, nowhere to go but up from there. And I have gone up, just not very far, continuing to buy used beige cars. And I don't even like that color. That's just what color they all end up. Anyway, that's our car segment for the day.
You're welcome, Isaac.
We are here. Yeah, Isaac, what does he drive? That little white thing? Two-seater. Nissan.
It is a two-seater, right? It is.
The two-seater?
Yeah.
Seats fold down?
I think he's got back seats. Yeah, it's a two-seater, but he's got to push the back seat forward. Mm-hmm. He's got two back seats back there, I think.
Nobody knows what it is.
Anytime I see him, he Ubers to the place I see him at, or he, you know, it's at his place. Really? So I never actually see it anymore. I thought I saw it once, but I'm remembering like a two-door sporty looking car, but I could be wrong. I'm wrong.
Yes,
I'm probably wrong.
A Nissan ZR, or I forgot what it.
Do you have the license plate so we can air that out right now? Yeah, just kidding. That's a joke. Don't if you have it, don't say it.
I think it's like a ZR1, I think.
Yeah, we shouldn't be talking about cars because two of us don't even know anything about them, clearly. We somehow managed to kill.
This reminds me, and one quick tangent before we jump into the main stuff, but I once asked Will, a year ago, 2 years ago, hey, Will, if you won the lottery and you're a billionaire tomorrow, what are the first things, couple things you do? And his answer was, oh, man, I'll probably buy my dream car. I'll probably buy my son his dream car, my brother, and my parents their dream cars. And I'm like, well, hey, why are you spending so much on me? I was like, wait, why are you buying your son a car? He's not old enough to drive yet. Yeah, but just to say that he can have one and it'll just be there for when he's ready to drive. And I'm like, this is exactly why I'm like, you shouldn't win the lottery. Like, no, these are the wrong answers, Will. And he started laughing like, well, there's so much to do. Like, if I have all the money, I'm a billionaire. I'm just not going to let it go to waste. And just the car talk reminded me of that. And I wanted to say it out loud.
That's probably a fun hypothetical question for the next episode, the lottery talk, because now I'm curious about other people's answers.
I'll make a note.
All right. You alluded to it, though. Let's get into it. We have a week five to recap, and boy, what a week five it was. Mm-hmm. Some matchups were dramatic, some less so. Some decisions played a part in the result of a win or a loss. Lots to get through, so I'm going to go ahead and kick off the first one with our absent co-host in William, because he was the first one we previewed last week, and he had the most to say about this sort of thing. So about the matchup at least, but this was between William and Justin. Justin, who famously rejected my Seattle Seahawks defense for $5 last week. I was rooting against for that reason alone. Turns out the defense he picked up was slightly better because they scored 12 points, Washington to Seattle's 10, which, God, how bad is Cleveland? That's who Washington played against. Fucking yeah. Deshaun Watson. I mean, if you don't believe in karma, look at how, well, I know karma, the guy has a $240 million contract, so he's probably winning at the end of the day anyway. But in terms of reputation and public hate and like there couldn't be a better player pick to be doing more miserably than Deshaun Watson. So the public is happy. And if you have a defense, certainly start him against him, because he just, I don't know if it's all the negative press or just the time off or just lack of focus or whatever, but he's just not been the same guy since coming back from that suspension.
He got paid. He's checked out, man. He's not, he's not Deshaun Watson that I once knew.
Yeah. I mean, he's just surrounded by so much negativity that it's just like, you can't, yeah, he's just giving up. He's just like, there's no coming back from this.
Anyway, buried the lead here. Justin does come away with the win in a pretty close game, 98-91. William had a prayer, and I know he was sitting there holding his damn God, I can't think of words today. What are those beads? Rosary?
Rosary beads? Yeah.
Holding his rosary as Rashid Shaheed scored early. I know William didn't think he was dead. He thought just one more Shaheed.
Yes, he did. Yes, he was like, I need one more, and I got this. Never happened.
So a couple headlines on this one. Like I said, William lost by 7. Really, what actually got him the loss, the biggest factors, Sam Darnold, 4 points, 14 for 31, 179 yards, no touchdowns, fumble lost, interception, just a terrible day. Justin was the last good part of their team, and we'll see if that holds up now that they fired their coach. But Darnold, worst game of the entire season, by far. If he'd even put up 12 points, it would have been enough to get William the win. Yep. But that's definitely the one that hurt him the most. You could also point to the loss of his alpha receiver in Nico Collins, who had only played 9 snaps. But in those 9 snaps, 2 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. Would he have gotten 8 more points throughout the day? Don't know, but he already had 13 in the first quarter. So probably fair to say it would have been a little closer if that had happened. So that's truly, I think, what stung him the most. Some of the other headlines that I heard us talk about, and he pointed out, it was a quote, "I sat Isaiah Likely in week 1, and he's sucked ever since. I've started in weeks 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to bench him now. I hope he doesn't go off." Sure enough.
Isaiah Likely,
3 receptions for 13 yards, but 2 touchdowns, including a crazy one from Lamar Jackson in the back in the end zone. That was a crazy Lamar play. But Isaiah Likely over Kate Otten, that would have been enough to get him the win. So twice he's benched Likely, and twice. I mean, I know how you feel, William. I do this with quarterbacks. literally every single week.
But do you lose?
No.
Okay.
I do not, for the most part. 80% of the time I don't lose so far. Nico, as I mentioned, left the game early. This comes after, if I had, you know, if we still did the sound bites and had all that time and all that stuff, I would have clipped William, quote, "I hope Saquon breaks his knee." Nico, not only pulled his hamstring and left the game, now he's on IR out at least 4 weeks. That means Rashee Rice, who's out for the season, and Nico Collins out for 4 weeks and maybe more. William, we keep asking you to stop testing the gods and stop wishing negativity. Those are his two best players.
Yep.
And as he falls to 2-3 now and further behind in the standings, William seriously has to question how he's going to salvage his season or what he's going to do going forward, because let's not forget, he is in tier one. We got a tier one schedule the rest of the year. Not a great start.
It's not pretty. It's not a. It's rough out there for some tier one team schedules. So, yeah. And I'm surprised he took out Bateman. I feel like I listened to our preview, and I feel like I don't know if Bateman was ever a consideration to sit, but he went with that move. And I guess it wouldn't have made a difference because he would have put him in a flex.
Yeah, he really didn't have anybody underperform. Fonz and I were pushing Jordan Whittington pretty hard because we wanted, you had picked Myers, we picked Whittington, and I think he had, Fonz was pushing Justice Hill, now that I think about it. You were pushing Myers, Fonz was pushing Justice Hill, and I was pushing Whittington. I don't actually remember Bateman being in the lineup. I thought he had just done so poorly for so long that he wasn't really a consideration.
Oh, maybe right. Yeah.
I didn't think at all. I didn't even think twice about Bateman.
Yeah. We just kind of skipped over him. But Fonz was trying to project his hatred of Derrick Henry.
I remember that.
Henry's going to do nothing. Go Justice Hill.
It wasn't,
he's going to get
wasn't,
all the touches.
It wasn't hatred. It was just a prediction that he goes off in the week that you don't need him. And the week that you do need him, he doesn't show up for you. It was just that pure fact of how bad luck.
That was wishful thinking. That was wishful
thinking. Well, again, you didn't need him to go off to go against me this week. So,
well, yeah. Justice Hill, 2.5 points on a game, in a game in which the Ravens scored 41. Justice Hill, 25 yards, no scores, no touchdowns. Anyway, like I said, those weren't really the things that killed him. I know Shaheed got his hopes up at the end of the night, ultimately falls short. Yeah, don't need to dig too much further into any of these. William's going to – we'll talk about it on his preview, but he's going to have to seriously start thinking about what the rest of the season is going to look like, because we're coming up on the halfway point, and he just lost his two best assets and doesn't have an easy schedule.
Excuse me.
Justin's side, Lamar, being Lamar, QB1 on the year, third straight game with over 20 points, first game over 30 on the season, and I think the biggest takeaway – from that game is that the Bengals are the most attractive fantasy lineup because they have a great offense and a shit defense. So it's just going to be point city as long as they're playing a competent opponent. And Lamar definitely took advantage of that. 348 yards, 4 touchdowns, 55 more rushing yards. And it just looked like a video game out there for a while.
Outside,
yeah, entertaining for sure. Outside of that, usual suspects. Josh Jacobs, pretty good game. Finally got in the end zone. Rashad White, he had 10 for 72, but I think he had 54 of that on one carry. So he continued to kind of look like shit until one big run kind of set him loose. Stephon Diggs, 82 yards against his old team, in which he beats Buffalo. And maybe his role increases now with no Nico Collins for the next few weeks. And Xavier Leggett kind of comes back to earth a little bit. One catch for 8 yards. I think the biggest talking point for Justin that we overlooked, and frankly, he did too from what he told me, I didn't realize Raheem Mostert was back. He hadn't played since week one and really had done nothing all season. And then I'm sure this coincided with Achan's concussion, but ended up getting 19 carries and almost 100 all-purpose yards throughout the day. So something to monitor going forward.
Yeah, I think you said it best. I think it was due to Achan's concussion, and I think at least the rumor, the notes prior to that game was like, oh, Mostert's going to be slowly worked in. Of course, Achan's mm-hmm. going to get the bulk of the work. You still have Jalen Wright. Yeah, as the backup, and Mostert would of course like just get worked in slowly. But then Achan got the concussion pretty early on, so that changed the trajectory of Mostert's usage. So
that's a button on this one. Justin improves to 3-2. William falls to 2-3. To put a button on this, and we probably should talk about the entire thing here, but our touchdown parlay pick, the choice was Nico Collins on this one. That one did cash. Good job, William. His final act of heroism before he got sent to the IR. Big time touchdown. Jose, I was kind of monitoring. I sort of remembered all the players we picked. I knew we all knew Godwin didn't cash immediately, but did you do a smaller three leg?
I did.
Who'd that end up being?
That ended up being Nico Collins, Derrick Henry, right, and Debo Samuel. So it did not cash. Yeah, it did not cash. I was watching that too. I was like, oh, well, there goes the six leg, and it's okay. I still got the three. And then, yeah, Nico Collins scored pretty early. Same thing for Derrick Henry. And I was like, just Debo. Come on. Like, this seems like a sure thing. And I feel like Debo had one of his worst games through 5 weeks. I'm like, oh, of course. Come on.
And one of the reasons I picked him is because he hadn't scored all year. It's a division game. Super familiar with Arizona. Not only did they lose that game, but yeah, you're right. He has a terrible game. And is that seriously zero touchdowns for the entire season?
I think he has one rushing touchdown week one.
Okay. Well, damn. Something to think about setting your lineup going forward. But yeah.
Nah, he's going to score this week.
You're going to Chris Godwin him? Going to Chris Godwin him?
Yeah. We'll get into a little bit more, but I almost want to, man, like I'm Chris Godwin. I won't say like Fonz is banned, but Chris Godwin is on the ban list. Like, we do not mention Chris Godwin when it comes to parlays. It's like if they burn you twice, it's like it's done.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
All right, that puts a button on Justin and William. Who next?
I'll take Noe and Scott here. Noe came away with the win, 93.6 to Scott 69.5. Scott was scored 20 less than his projected score, so not a great day for Scott. And I'll start on the underwhelming side here. Looking through the lineup, I mean, Jordan Love, moderate numbers here. B-Robs, Brian Robinson did score twice, had 7 carries for 18 yards, did get those 2 touchdowns. So if it wasn't for those 2 touchdowns, it would have been an ugly day for one of the B-Robs. The other B-Rob, Bijan, 12 carries for 61 yards. Still not, I think he only has 1 touchdown through the season. So through 5 weeks, and, you know, yeah, with the new... you know, Kirk Cousins in a quarterback, it's like everything should start clicking. You want Bijan to start, you know, being what you drafted him to be. And I feel for Scott, because it's like I feel like he hasn't had a solid week since, you know, where both of them have clicked and have gotten the fantasy numbers that you would anticipate for those guys. But it's coming. I feel it, just not this week.
Running back 22 on the season.
The Falcons need a... The Falcons need to take a look at the Lions playbook and take some plays out of that, because, yeah, I feel like they're not utilizing the two running backs that they have very well.
That's a good idea, actually. I could see an Algier, B-Rob tandem, kind of like Jameer and
David Montgomery. Yeah. And Montgomery. And this keeps both of them healthy, and it keeps the team moving the yardsticks.
Yeah, call him up, Fonz. Tell him. moving through the lineup, Cortland Sutton has a terrible day for fantasy. Kind of the same for Amari Cooper. The volume was there, targeted 10 times, but I don't think those were all on quality, target.
Quality targets.
Oh, so it wasn't his fault? God, I missed a lot of these games, but that's crazy. I thought, based off of the numbers for... receptions out of 10 targets, like, what the hell?
Yeah, some of those were really ugly. Just kind of doubles down on the whole Deshaun Watson talk about just him not being him. Moving through the lineup, Trey McBride's another one. Like, I had high hopes for Trey McBride coming into the season. Now I say that, but he's still the tight end 10 on the year, but we all know what the tight end landscape looks like. So it's like, take that for what it is. Six receptions for 53 yards. Roma Dunze. I won't say he continues to struggle. It's just
it's slow.
I think Odunze will have a better second half of the year, and you would hope, you know, Caleb Williams is, you know, finding his form, finding the rhythm, and eventually that offense, everyone would just click on the offensive side. So better days ahead for him as well. Mike Williams, only two catches for 25 yards. We all know where the volume went. We'll talk about it later. And then kicker and defense, Raiders defense against the Broncos really didn't do much for him. No one really to mention on the bench. And I don't think but they had a lot of players on bye, and then of the players available, like Jaylen Waddle, we had talked in the last episode, like, I don't think he's worth starting. And I think that still stands true. Wouldn't have made a difference either way. Had he subbed him in for, say, Mike Williams or, Cortland Sutton, but still, that's really it on Scott's side. If I'm jumping over, I'll go to Noe on Noe's side, starting with Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels was my pick for any time. One of my picks for any time touchdown. He did not get the rushing touchdown. So on top of Fonz's Chris Godwin pick, my pick would have been the other one that would have burned us. But he did
82 rushing yards though.
Yeah, he did put up awesome numbers though. 19 fantasy points, as Mario said, 11 carries for 82 yards, threw for 238 and a touchdown. Did also throw a pick though, but still remains the QB 1-2 now. Who the fuck's one?
QB Lamar.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Funny enough, they play each other this coming week.
Oh, and that'll be good.
I saw a SportsCenter quote, and it said, Jaden Daniels, quote, "I'm not Lamar." It's like the press is already comparing them right away. So,
oh, dude,
we'll see.
Hopefully that's a shootout too. Like that's a high scoring, entertaining game.
Hopefully. I hope. And we'll talk about it, but the fucking Ravens, whenever the lights are bright, like they show up.
Yep. Moving through Noe's side, Travis Etienne, apparently last week he we're talking about week 5. Apparently week 4 he was injured, and now in week 5 he's injured again, or still injured, or re-injured his original injury. I don't know. It feels like that guy's always has something wrong with him. Only put up 6 fantasy points. His day, he was outshined by Tank Bigsby, and I believe that's someone that Miller owns. Yeah, Tank Bigsby finished with 24 fantasy points, had 2 touchdowns and 100 yards rushing, but we'll get to that in Miller's matchup. But just not pretty for Noe's running backs. He also started Ray Davis. And again, I asked myself why, but then when you look at the bench, you're like, oh, like everyone's on bye, or he doesn't have anyone else. So just a shot in the dark there that didn't really pan out. Kind of the same thing for Marvin Harrison. 7 targets, 2 receptions, 36 yards, not pretty. But Drake London in that game on Thursday night.
Yes.
Thursday night game. 13 targets, 12 receptions, 154 yards, and a touchdown. I think that's what you're hoping to see when you drafted Drake, or in the weeks after you drafted Drake London, just had hope for that kind of production. So let's hope that's another one of his breakout games, and it stays more consistent from there. Kyle Pitts.
That was like the coming out for Cousins. I think I don't think he's gonna throw for 500 yards every game. No. Obviously, but London had already done enough damage in the first half alone, so finally nice to see. And like, you know, I heard some things, and Cousins is with Isaac, which we'll talk about, but some things about Kirk in general said he admitted that he wasn't comfortable planting, and like he couldn't get that, you know, same kind of release and get the ball with as much zip as he could, which obviously in the NFL, game of inches, that every little micro millisecond matters. So I think the combination of maybe, I mean, you throw him for 500 yards, I don't care what you say, like you're feeling good enough to some degree. maybe the right combination of things with the bad secondary and feeling a little better, and yeah, hopefully a sign of things to come, because that's been a frustrating bag to carry, that Falcons pass catcher.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said it best. I think, you know, watching replays of Kirk Cousins the first 2 weeks, it was pretty evident that he was not comfortable planting that foot. And just some of the slow-mo shots I saw of, you know, him dropping back, you're like, what? Like, what's happening there? But I get you. You'd want to be cautious. So yeah, hopefully a couple weeks in, he's more comfortable doing that. And the game from Thursday night clearly proves that. But Kyle Pitts was also kind of part of that. The benefit of you know, the Kirk Cousins really great night on Thursday, 7 targets, 88 yards, no touchdown. So, but again, for that's the kind of volume you want to see in today's tight end landscape. So got to be happy with that considering some of the stuff we've, or some of the weeks we've seen out of Kyle Pitts. Zay Flowers, 12 fantasy points, did all right there, 111 yards. George Pickens, yeah, Steelers offense, the entire game actually just wasn't fun to watch.
What a waste of time for everyone to stay up for.
God, yeah.
Bored ass game.
Hour and a half delay just to, yeah.
Admittedly, yeah, I was like a challenge. Stay up for that game. And when I woke up the next morning, I saw a text from you, Mario, and then I was watching game highlights and just looking at the score, the box score, I'm like, ugh, like, not pretty. I would not have wanted.
I had more fun just talking shit to Fonz during the game. That was the whole thing I was doing instead. That's what kept me awake.
Yep. Outside of that, he had a solid day with Chicago's defense against Carolina. I don't know what happened with Carolina's offense, but we'll pick that apart as we go through some more of the matchups. But yeah, a lot of bye weeks for both Scott and Noe. I think the most notable name on the bench right now in terms of fantasy points, Trevor Lawrence had a pretty solid day, which is something we haven't been able to say through 5 weeks. So finished with 371 yards, 2 touchdowns, 21 fantasy points. And I think the most we've seen before this week was like 14. So, you know, not that Noe has a need for quarterbacks, but it's just nice to know. Nice to know.
If he wants to move him. Yeah, he's got a lot of QBs sitting on that roster.
I honestly thought he would have dropped Trevor Lawrence by now, but I think he'd rather trade him, move him that way, which makes sense. But it hasn't been pretty. Ever since they renamed it to Trevor Bank Stadium. Stupid.
Oh, did they? I didn't even realize that.
I don't know if that was like a marketing thing for like 1 week or they actually did it for the home games. But yeah, that was a big story.
Huh.
Cursed them.
Yeah, I guess so. Good to see signs of life, though, because I mean, like, he was considered a prodigy coming out. Like, I know some of these high picks, Zach Wilson's were top three and all that stuff, but like, he was supposed to be like, some people say he's the best college quarterback they've ever seen. So he was supposed to be like the next Andrew Luck to a degree. And it just has not been that. So good to see some signs of life out of him.
Yeah, dude. And like the whole undefeated high school, college career. And I know the sample sizes were small considering, you know, some things considered, but just even the things were after the Jags drafted him. And I remember a story coming out about a reporter like doing a preseason interview, and he had a football, and he's like, Trevor, like, you know, can I give you this ball? And I'd be the, you know, catch your first throw in the NFL. And he was like, ah, I think I'm going to save it for my teammates. Like, I was like, oh my God, like this guy, hasn't really flashed the way you would think he would, but yeah. Promising signs. And we'll see where that takes us. But yeah, Noe gets the win. Noe improves to 4-1. Scott does drop to 2-3.
I noticed earlier looking at this matchup, you know, we do the whole touchdown parlay and you said you had Jaden Daniels, didn't work out. This was probably the toughest matchup to do it. Each team only had one touchdown across their entire rosters. Drake London for Noe and Brian Robinson who was 7 for 18, by the way, just got lucky, got in the end zone twice, but that was it. And not counting passing touchdowns. So this was a tricky one. So I'm glad I didn't have this game. Jaden Daniels, 11 for 82. That was a good bet, but just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Who next?
I'll take the next one. Yeah. I see the other person who's not here on this podcast, Castro V. Warwick. Here we go. We got Castro taking the win on this one. 121 to Warwick's 105 on Warwick's side. Mahomes have a mediocre number, 13.4.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about that. That's continuing again. Yep. Yeah. we'll see if he continues to roll with him or go with the. Oh well, shit! I guess he just lost.
He got no Derek Carr. Yeah.
He just lost Derek Carr. Yeah. Well, you're stuck with him now. James Cook, having a good day. 20 carries, 82 yards, touchdown, two receptions for 17 yards. Alexander Mattison didn't. Okay.
All right. We were arguing about him versus like Emmanuel Wilson. Jose was the one on the island that stayed with Madison. And we were talking about like who's gonna carry like 3, 4, 5, and then there was a quote, Madison to get more work, blah blah blah, which you know, coach speak, you don't know how to take it. And then Madison most carries all season, 15, and then 3 targets, catching 2 of them. Not like he like blew up. He only had 8 points, but he still was technically the correct play. On that day.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. It's funny that you guys answered that before I could ask it. Keon Coleman. I think he's steadily becoming pretty steady on this one, right?
Did you see the one catch that he had on those 5 targets?
No, I did not see any games this week.
It was one of those little Josh Allen kind of scramble around and eventually just found a guy. And mm-hmm. he found him on the sideline, and he just bolted and took off. That was the one catch that he had. It just happened to be a nearly 50-yard touchdown. Wow. But his 1 for 5, and we'll talk about Josh Allen soon, but Josh was 9 for 30 on the day. So I don't know how much is Coleman and how much was Texas defense and how much was Josh, but he had an ugly day. So yeah, Keon, he got very lucky with that one catch.
God, wow. Well, not that it helped him anyways. T. Higgins, 20 points. Jesus, 9 for 14, 83 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, I really wished I watched that game, but I missed that game too. So it looks like it was a fun game to watch.
It's that formula. Like the Bengals, after whatever happened against the Patriots, like we said, they have no defense and
they can put a bunch of points. So.
has finally started clicking. Like it takes them 3 or 4 weeks to wake up every year, it seems like, but. He's awake now, so keep an eye on all those matchups.
Yeah, it's because Castro went against me. It was a get-right game. Hunter Henry, as you would expect from the Titans, from any Titan this week. Godwin. Chris Godwin, no touchdown. I apologize. All right, double down. He let me down. Jerry Jeudy, nothing. That sucks. I know I recommended him.
Just a guy.
Just a guy. A jag. But I don't think it's all his fault. I think just Deshaun just is the problem with that offense. Mm-hmm. And then he's got the kicker, 14 points, and the 49ers defense with 11, who seems to be scoring a touchdown, I feel like, every week, if I'm not mistaken.
The Niners?
Yeah, it feels like it. What defense are they?
They've only got one touchdown on the season, but
I feel like they're just putting up so many points every week. It feels
last week was 21 and this one was 11. So just the last 2 weeks, but the first few weeks were kind of modest. But they keep losing. The only teams they beat are the freaking Patriots and the Jets. They've lost to Minnesota, the Rams, and the Cardinals. They've lost 2 division games already.
Wow.
But you know what? Week 8, Dallas, get right game.
Yep. Yeah, can't wait for the 49er fans to, to fucking jump all over us. Mm-hmm. So no notable players on Warwick's bench. McLaughlin got a touchdown in there.
Yeah, just all that whole bench, Ty Chandler, Algier, McLaughlin, Wilson. He's got so many just running back stashes. One of them happened to score. That's the only difference. Because you take that touchdown away, he's 2.5, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Can I give a honorable mention to Work's taxi though this week? Tyrone Tracy got the start for the injured Devin Singletary, 18 carries, over 129 yards rushing. Finished the day with 13 fantasy points, and Roschon Johnson is happening. I'm telling you, 14 fantasy points, 10 carries for 25 yards, but 2 touchdowns. So
they shout just out. Gave him the touchdown, touchdown vulture after DeAndre goes off. Yeah. Just there to piss off William.
Love it.
I love it. Wow. I wish I could see those taxi numbers while we're looking at the matchup.
It's on mobile, if you're looking on web, it's super hard to get to it. I had to take like an extra minute to find them.
That's cool. Well, nice work. I mean, you got some running backs cooking. Your taxi.
Which yeah, I'm, I, yeah, I'm so, I'm, Warwick, I, like, I'm happy for you and you're in the team, but like, I'm so pissed and jealous because I feel like 2 years ago, we were all saying like, man, Warwick doesn't have any running backs. Like he, that's who he should be drafting. And it was rough. It, like looking at his lineup every week and, you know, running back, you got to get a running back. And I feel like now he has like, he's got options now. And it's, I'm just like, oh my God, like, how did he do it? I want the secret. What's the sauce?
Not caring.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest hole in his team, right? He was rocking with like Tyler Allgeier, and it was James Cook before he was fully James Cook, I think.
Yeah, and I remember saying like, oh, I don't know if I would have drafted him. Like, I feel like his stock was just there because he's, you know, has the Cook last name, and no, like he's solid. And so yeah, like either luck, just, you know, he lucked into it, or had some secret recipe to finding these guys. But yeah, no, he's got a team.
Tracy can be a good one if he can start getting more work, because I think he's better than Singletary, but
all right,
just a matter of them letting him keep the job. So if Singletary stays out of the way, might be a promotion territory.
Well, there you go, Warwick. Something to look forward to on your team there. On Castro's side, we got Joe Burrow going off 33 points. God, 30 for 39 completions, 392 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's it. That's all I care to mention in there.
I got a call out on that. I was yelling. Most of us, everyone but Jose, in fact, said, no doubt, start Baker Mayfield. Thursday night, Baker's going off. I start talking shit to Castro just to rib him a little bit. Because Baker has a good game, goes up with 23. Yes. And I specifically went and looked back at Joe's history against the Ravens, and it had not been good for the last 4 starts. And I was like, yeah, those days of lighting up the Ravens are over. Well, they're back now. So, give a shout out to that in case he's at home, hunkered down, listening to this before he loses his internet.
Yeah, so yeah, we're pretty wrong on that. Alvin Kamara, did we put Kamara in the bet in your lineup there, Deez?
No.
This was Godwin. You have plenty of better choices, and you got Chris Godwin.
Well, Kamara didn't get his touchdown, so he would have been a wrong choice too. We got Trey Sermon, who started over Jonathan Taylor because he was injured, so he actually did well. Got in the end zone. Jamar Chase going off, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns, 12 targets. DK Metcalf, bad game, looks like 4 out of 7 receptions, 55 yards, and even lost a fumble. So not good. Conklin and Strange, he went 2 tight ends.
It's the second time he starts Strange and the second time he scores.
Yeah, that's really funny and paid off.
Yeah, lucky bitch.
And then Najee Harris, man, what is up with that? Like, Najee Harris is just not, I feel like he's just decreasing, right? Like,
he's just not good. He's a volume guy that's not very good. That's about it. He's just not very efficient.
Yeah.
His fucking, oh my God, 7.9, 7.4, 8.6, 7.3, 7.7. He's just locked in.
That's exactly what I'm looking at. Yeah. Like, it has not moved up or down. It's very steady there.
He ended last season strong though, but yeah, I feel like I haven't, I mean, maybe a couple weeks into his rookie year, like oh my God, like this guy's the next best thing, right? And then now it seems like you watch what he's doing today, and obviously the last 5 weeks I'll just called out some numbers, but I'm just like, man, yeah, like if you would tell me in 2 years this guy's gonna be just the backup somewhere, like I'd kind of believe it.
Yeah, he like fell off a cliff because everyone was kind of down on him even last year. I was like, what are they talking about? And looking at his finishes, RB4 his rookie year, RB4, RB12 second year, not as good, but okay, RB20 last year, and now he's currently RB31 through 5 weeks. So he's just continued to trend down ever since that first year. And he got old fast, I guess. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Steelers running back. When you're Steelers back, you just age just super fast. I remember the days of Le'Veon Bell. got 2 good years out of him.
Dude.
Got 26, he's done.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's a good point. And then McPherson, that sucks to have a kicker on the same team as a quarterback that just throws nothing but touchdowns. Might want to reconsider that.
Well, that, and then he got his game-winning field goal blocked. So he went from 4 down to 3 when it should have been like 8 or so, which is, you know, he didn't need it, but
yeah,
it's not great.
Yeah. And the Jets defense, as expected, putting up some points there, not allowing the game to get out of control. Baker Mayfield, we talked about that on his bench. Didn't matter. Didn't need to worry about who we needed to start there. And then everyone else just not relevant into going into his lineup. So,
yeah, and there was a reason he went double tight ends, like you said, Fonz. Like, everyone else was on bye or quarterback, right? So he made the right start with Joe Burrow. But, like, his other options were Jalen Naylor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who wasn't targeted at all, wasn't involved, 0 fantasy points. And then David Njoku, who came back from injury, only to get injured like shortly, like after the game started with different injury. And so it's like, yeah, like, you know, bye weeks and all that stuff, but there wasn't anybody else. And I'm sure he's glad that, you know, he didn't make those.
I mean, yeah, kudos Castro to doing that, because I don't think I would have done 2 tight ends. I probably would have gone Naylor just because to avoid starting 2 tight ends. So kudos to you on that.
The fact that both scored over 5 points. I think Mark Andrews has done that once all year, and it is fucking Conklin and Strange to do that.
Yeah. So good job, Castro. He comes out with the win again on this one, increases his, I'm going blank on what I'm trying to say here.
This is a record.
Yes. He goes to his record 4-1 Warwick drops down to 2-3.
Good game, guys. All right. I'll take the surprising game of the week, the winless matchup. 2 teams combined for 0-8 coming into the game. Finished the week as the top 2 scorers in the entire league, because, of course, they do. They're the two we always call witches in Miller and Isaac. And I don't know if anyone really caught. It's like a low stakes game, obviously, right? But I appreciate that they both seem to care to win, because partway through the day, Miller had Evan Engram, who didn't even play, and no defense in his lineup. But as the day progressed and Miller kind of caught how it was going and then he had a chance to win, I haven't asked him, but I know he knows we keep records and we see losing streaks and people have all-time things. So something possessed him to try and win, and he at least put into defense late in the day. Ultimately comes up just a little bit short, because the head-to-head came down to Kansas City defense versus Xavier Worthy, and I think Miller was down by about 2 coming into the day. Was looking good until Xavier Worthy gets loose on a handoff, of all things. One carry for 3 yards, gets in the end zone, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Isaac comes away 127 to Miller's 123. A well-fought match between these two, who everyone wrote off. It's the matchup we spent the least amount of time on, because we said it doesn't matter. Yeah. But man, Isaac didn't listen to us, for better or worse. Actually, he didn't hear it in time, which is maybe a good thing. But we said, Cousins, you can't trust yet, because frankly, you couldn't. Coming into this week, or this game, 17 was his best game. He had 6, 17, 11, and 7. Really no reason to believe that he was going to go off. But, man, both teams went down marched down the field and scored instantly. And, Fonz, I put it in the chat. I just said, shootout coming. And you were like, yep, we were just saying the same.
As soon as that second touchdown happened, I told my brother, I was like, here it is, man. We're in a shootout game. We called it.
So Cousins' best game in a while. I didn't look up his history, but we talked about how the absence of 30-point games for a lot of these guys. So nobody saw 34 points coming. The thing is, we were recommending Flacco, or whoever started for the Colts, Flacco puts up 26. So like it wasn't terrible either.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible advice. Yeah,
but
it mattered.
That was the difference between winning and losing, as it turns out. Chuba Hubbard, 13 for 97, gets in the end zone. Zach Moss, he got hurt in this game. He's got an ankle injury. I don't know if he finished or not, but he did not practice today, so maybe something looking forward. JSN gets in the end zone. Brian Thomas, becoming a stud before our very eyes. We talked about it last week. I mean, he's been in double digits three of his first career five games. One of those where he didn't, he still had 9.4. Third touchdown in five games, 8 for 122, seems to be the lone bright spot. I think he's getting buried a little bit just because that team as a whole sucks, but that guy is pretty solid and probably showing out better than at least Marvin Harrison. Him and Neighbors are in the early running for offensive wide receiver of the year. I think Jaden Daniels is kind of running away with rookie of the year, but I
think so.
Oh, true. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you still trying to target Brian Thomas for a trade?
Am I still? I'm not. Yes. I think like every two and a half weeks, I throw out feelers and like, hey, buddy, like, how you feeling about like, you know, BTJ and your future?
for me, I've just been like, when players that get drafted on in our league, I feel like when they do well like this, they're just on such a high that I'd rather wait or just forget about them because if they're just going to want too much from them. And they may not even let him go. So I was like, you know what? Good on you. You hit on the lot on the in the draft. I'll take my chances next season.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I would happily give away multiple first rounders for BTJ, and I would have done that before the season started. After the draft was complete, I would have done it. But I didn't have my next 2 years first rounders. And it kind of sounds like Isaac wants to keep him for the future. And it, honestly, if I was in Isaac's shoes, like he would be untouchable for me. Like, I don't care what offers I get. So I don't think he's going anywhere, but if he does, I told Isaac, if there's ever any like, you know, person voice in your brain that's like, maybe I should move him, like, please get me involved early on in the process. So, but yeah, I don't think he's going to move him, but he would absolutely still be someone I'm targeting, today.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it ever happens where Isaac loses a game or two in a small span and Brian Thomas has two bad games and it's like he loses by less than 5 points, I would jump because Isaac has a short temper with some of these guys.
Oh, dude, yeah. And whatever Isaac was drinking 2 weeks ago when he made those deals with Fonz like whatever he was drinking, like I'm jumping on that opportunity too. Like I'm tempted to text Isaac, like, hey, let's go to happy hour. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think it was that bad.
Right? No. It's just like the willingness to make those kinds of moves.
Catch him in a good mood. Yeah.
That's the big ones. You got Cole Kmet, Michael Pittman finally scored. The dude never scores, but man, start your players against Jacksonville because they suck too. But he got hurt in this game. I guess he has a back issue, so Pittman is out multiple weeks going forward. Something to consider for his lineups. Xavier Worthy gets in the end zone again. That's a prayer every single time. And that's pretty much everyone of note. A couple tight ends on the bench. Couple defenses. Why do you have so many defenses, Isaac? Got three defenses on his roster. The wager on this one was Brian Thomas. We thought this would be the toughest game. No, you could have almost closed your eyes and found somebody that scored on Isaac's side. Hubbard scored, JSN scored, Brian Thomas scored, Michael Pittman scored, Xavier Worthy scored. Those all would have hit. Even on Miller's side, Cam Akers, Alan Lazard, Alec Pierce, who Fonz just let go.
You have no heart. You have no idea how hard my heart sank when I thought that he picked them up for whatever low amount. I was like, God damn.
Yeah. No money. And of course, plays.
Of course, yeah. He had no option to, but to do it.
Darnell Mooney scores twice. Tank Bigsby scores twice. So there was touchdowns galore. in this game. Really, the only reason Miller lost, we said it, Sean Watson, just drop him, dude. He's a bad omen. Not even Miller can reverse that curse.
Oh, he's on the trade block. Yeah.
Just cut him, Miller. No one's going to fucking trade for that bad karma. And I think everyone's starting to become a believer watching Williams' team implode week after week.
No, but Mario, and yeah, you called it because you actually did the preview of this matchup on our last podcast. And I think my so for as much as like I was praising myself, like, oh, good call, good call, D's on telling Caster to leave Joe Burrow in over Baker and all, you know, Madison over whoever. But I was like, I was so stupid because Mario, you reviewed this one, and I was like, oh, well, here's the tough part, like call a touchdown, like we can't, like no one's gonna score, right? Like so it's so dumb. Yeah, highest scoring matchups, and yeah, a lot of people got in.
Yeah, the sad thing is these two 0-4 teams, they would have beaten literally everybody else in the league this week, and they played each other. It's just crazy the way these things map out sometimes.
Yep.
Tank Bigsby, I know there's a lot of storylines there. How much of it is ETN being hurt? How much of it is Bigsby being better? A lot of knee-jerk reactions, but for now, 13 for 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. A coach that might be coaching for his job every single week. He's not really committed to anything. He's going to put the best players out there. So we'll see if Bigsby's load continues to grow. Darnell Mooney, quietly a thing. Wide receiver 16 on the year now. And that's, I know he had the big game, he had 22 points, but he kind of had significant volume even without Kirk Cousins throwing 500 yards. So Mooney's certainly viable. I mean, he's on Miller's team for whatever that matters. It's just keep that in mind when you're playing against Miller, that he's got a guy that could randomly get 16 targets and 2 touchdowns. And Jose, I know you play him next week because you've been
circling on your calendar. What?
Since week one.
Alec Pierce spawns. You mentioned it. You traded for so many damn players that you just had to finally make a cut. And I know Pierce had 2 big games to open up. And like by big, I mean he just scored, right? Because when he scores, he scores long.
Right.
But just he still doesn't have a game. He has 1 game with more than 3 catches. On this game, it happened to be 3 for 134 yards, 45 yards per reception, and he gets in the end zone. What's funny is I don't think I actually did, or maybe I can't remember if I did or not, but I put it for $0. But I was gonna pick up Alec Pierce just because I was playing you and start him, and so that would have been so sweet if Miller hadn't scooped him up for me.
Yeah, I should have traded him for a third rounder.
Hey, well, yeah, maybe somebody would have been.
Pierce would have landed on your roster. You have all the good receivers.
I could almost never play. I'm so terrified of a guy that only catches touchdowns. I just I prefer volume. I'm so scared of a zero. Evan Ingram, I don't even think played. Alan Lazard scored again, his 4th touchdown on the season. He just keeps scoring, but whatever. Cam Akers getting the start with Joe Mixon out. He gets in the end zone as well, and then kicker defense was really it. Miller put up a good fight. Maybe some signs of life from Jalen Tolbert on Miller's bench going forward. And then Tank Dell, possibly getting elevated too with Nico Collins going out. He's suddenly vaulted up into the 2 spot. But yeah, that's it for these two guys. Miller, glad you tried. Well fought game. Just got to get a better QB in there. And Isaac, congrats. Pushed all the right buttons. Good thing you didn't listen to the podcast in time because that might have made the difference. But yeah, that drops Miller to 0-5 and improves Isaac to 1-4. Isaac, is playing me next week. And so, we're seeing the tape, Isaac. We're put on notice. We're not going to overlook you because now we've seen what you're capable of. I had to pay him $40 today for scoring.
Same note, but for Miller. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We both please do. All right. We got 2 left. 2 left.
All right. I'll take the next one. I got Deez versus Joe on this one. Deez puts up 101 points to Joe's 103 points. Wow. Joe comes up with a win on that one, on a close one. Let's go to Deez's side here. Josh Allen, 14.6 points. Man. I guess that's what you were talking about.
Ugly.
Huh?
9 for 30. Mm-hmm. Ugly.
9 for 30. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. Wow. I didn't see any games this Sunday, so I wish I saw how bad that was. Kareem Hunt going off 27 carries. What the fuck,
whoa, dude?
27 carries, 102 yards, one touchdown, and one reception for 15 yards.
We were on the money with, you know, Kansas City, you know, potentially leaning on the run game. I think that was half true, but I think the overarching strategy for them was to lean on vintage performances, because we saw Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, resurface again, and Travis Kelce had its decent day. So I was like, what's going on here?
That's just to the coaching, you know, like, God, they know how to move their pieces around, and they bring back valuable players, like people that know they just fit right into their scheme. So they just do a good job of adjusting to the adversaries that they go through. Devon Achane gets hurt and only ends up with 1.7.
That hurt. Yeah.
Yeah,
in a game decided by 2 points. Yeah. Yeah, Josh Allen completing 9 passes and HN going out early.
Yeah, shit, man. I feel for you on that. Garrett Wilson, nice, really good day. 16 breakout. Points. 13 for 23 targets. 23 targets, 13
absurd
receptions.
Absurd.
101 yards. Cup
numbers.
Yeah, that is wild, man. And I didn't get to see how. What was the quarterback's score during that game?
Like fantasy score?
Oh, like Rodgers?
Yeah, Rodgers. Was he the only?
He 11 fantasy points. Like, wait, he threw for 244 yards, 2 touchdowns. But yeah, it's just.
Yeah, that's just crazy, man. Okay. Well, good for you on that, man. I know you. That's exactly what you want to see out of Garrett Wilson. That's what you're expecting to see. Those kind of numbers there. Deontay Johnson comes to earth here. Yeah, 2.9. I'm personally just rooting against that guy. But
not what he do to you.
Yeah, it's just from the Guillotine League. So, George Kittle, good game. Wan'Dale Robinson, also a good game as well. I think we talked about that. He's just being very consistent.
Yep. Brief pause here. George Kittle, tight end one on the year. I'm super proud of Kittle and what he's done, considering I feel like he gets injured at some point throughout every game these last couple weeks, even fucking like last year. He's just always injured with something. Wan'Dale Robinson was a good start, was a good consideration, given all the things we talked about with Keenan Allen and, you know, the Bears offense and stuff like that. But I am mad at myself because I had Ramondre, I had Keenan Allen originally in here. And then before the games kicked off on noon on Sunday, I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, Wan'Dale was in at that point, but I was like, I should probably just to be safe, throw Ramondre in there, because in my head, and this is me talking to myself in my head, I was like, this whole Ramondre getting demoted, like, I feel like he's not going to go in for a drive or two, and then he's going to end up scoring a touchdown and have a decent day. And I was like, you know what? No, like that's kind of a bet to go on. And, you know, considering he's fumbled every other game or every game since, like, just play it safe, go with Wan'Dale. And Wan'Dale, yeah, did have a solid day. Scored a touchdown, 36 yards, 10 fantasy points. You love to see it. But then Ramondre, like, you know, exactly that, right? Like, he doesn't go out on that first drive, maybe two. And then he breaks off. He goes for like a 30, 40 yard run and a touchdown. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, are you kidding me? And at that point afternoon on Sunday, that's when I knew I'd lose the game. Just because of that one move, I was like, it was in the back of my mind. I should just fucking, like, we talk about it all the time, every week. Listen to your gut. Just go with your gut. That was my gut. And I'm so pissed that I didn't listen to it. And I don't know what's going to happen for the future for the, you know, Patriots offense with them going with the new direction at quarterback. But I'm just like, man, this makes things difficult for me because, yeah, Wan'Dale put up solid numbers. And I think those are the consistent numbers that I want to see from a flex. But I was so pissed.
So you would have started, you would have benched Wan'Dale Robinson for Ramondre Stevenson, is what you're saying.
That one flex spot would have been between Wan'Dale and Ramondre. But that was what was going through my head before the games kicked off at noon.
Sure.
It was like 11:54.
It's good to get an updated one, because we talked a lot about Keenan Allen. But when we had first started, you had Bowers in that spot. You're like, I'm going to go double tight end. Bowers put up almost the exact same score as Ramondre. And as I was listening to it, knowing the result, I was like, ah, fuck. Yeah, the right ones. Glad to know it had moved to Ramondre because we didn't talk as much about that one. Yeah, while Wandale seriously goes nowhere. Six catches for 36 yards. He's like, you just need him to score. Again, you got double digits. It's fine. Really, like, the true killers were Achan and Josh Allen. It just sucks knowing that something could have tweaked it. And then obviously Debo having an underwhelming game.
Yeah. And the thing with Brock Bowers, like I think I had mentioned it too, like, oh, like Brock Bowers is usable now. Like he's startable now. It's just like, I was like, man, I don't know if he scores a touchdown. He hasn't scored yet. I know it's coming. I just don't know when. I don't know if I want to bet on it being this week. But yeah, as those games went on Sunday, and obviously this matchup came down to Monday night, the Chiefs game. Right. And so, in my mind, I was like, you know what? Like whether it was Ramondre or Brock Bowers over Wandale, that's a 5-point difference. I'm going to lose by much more than that. And so, of course, it comes down to Monday night. I lose by like 2 points, and I'm like, motherfucker. And this is when fantasy matchups bother me. This is when I lose sleep. This is when I get mad. I'm like, these moves. I'm like, it could have been avoided if I had made one small tweak. But like, if I lose by like 20, 30, and there's nothing I could have done, like in terms of starting this person over that person, like I'm fine. I can go on with my week. But this one burns. This one burns a bit.
Especially because Kareem Hunt goes out and balls out to even get it that close. Yeah. Just give you that final tease where. Yeah, it just feels like you're getting fucked with. I know that feeling very, very well. But and the way everything perfectly played out, like, I mean, Aaron Jones went down too, so he also had a running back go down. But you get it, you get the kick right away with, I mean, Travis Kelce, because Ray Rice isn't playing, suddenly Kelce's volume goes up, and so that offsets the Kareem Hunt just enough in the final game.
Oh, and thank you for reminding me. My kicker gets injured.
Oh, you're right.
When do kickers fucking get injured and get carted off the field? My matchup. That's when it happens. I'm like, are you kidding me, man? Like, oh, I was so mad. Funny, like
that play, I don't know, Bonds, you didn't see the replay, but that literally looked act of God because it was like, it was a return, I think, and they were running back. Moody tries to go and get in the tackle, and he just kind of gets bumped and put into a spot where his foot sticks and just bends backwards. And it's like, that's the worst, absolute worst body part that could have happened for that guy. Like, it was targeted on his foot. That's where he makes his money. And just that specifically bends backwards where, Jose, like I said it earlier, this, the one game I lost to work, something happened. I was like, I already know how this is going to go. I'm just accepting it now. It's like, sometimes you just see the tea leaves and you're like, you know what? You're not going to fucking get me fate. You're not going to get my hopes up. No, it's not.
No, it's happening. Yeah, it's just, it sucks because like we said it last week in the preview. It's like, this is the week where things start separating in terms of record. Yes, we have the D's rule for the sixth and final spot going off points four. So there's still opportunity, you know, to just, as long as you keep putting up points and make the right starts, making the right starts. But like, yeah, this burns. And if I'm looking at any silver lining, it's like, you know what? I'm glad it happened this week against Joe and not next week against Miller. Cause that's when I think that's when I would have been like, it's in my head. The rest of the season is done. Like, and yeah, just knock on wood where I can, but like that. Yeah. Oh my God. It's over. It's over with.
Damn. So Miller's in your head right now.
Already. Not yet. No.
That's you go explaining all that just makes me feel for you, man. The stress you went through. Nah. And you're going through
fantasy. We'll move on.
Well, yeah, Deebo Samuel, not great. You lose Jake Moody in that game as well. And Minnesota's defense puts up 16 points for you. Really good. Which, yeah, just hurts even more. Kyler Murray would have been the better start on this one. And I don't know if we talked about that, but I think we didn't. New Josh Allen was just the one.
Well, and Cards were playing San Francisco. Like, it seemed like Josh Allen was, you know, primed to have the better fantasy day this week. Mm-hmm. I didn't even consider it. Like, it's San Francisco. The whole reason I didn't say Marvin Harrison Jr. was going to score a touchdown because it's San Francisco. Which would have been
truly,
yeah.
Kyler, I think he had like a 50-yard rushing touchdown, and that was 11 points right there. Like, outside of that one big play, he had 13. So it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to take that matchup. But yeah, Josh Allen just fucking, And to be honest, I was a little surprised that Josh Allen came out as hot as he did. You know, he had the 31 and then a bad game and 30. Because my whole thing was, he's got nobody to throw the ball to. Like, where the fuck? I get he runs a lot, but I don't get how he's doing this. And now he's had back-to-back sort of rough games. I'm like, oh, this is – now he gets the Jets on the road next week. And the Jets, you know, just fired their coach and maybe are in a bit of a rallying sort of thing. So I don't know who Kyler plays, but probably something to think about a little more closely going into the next week.
Against Miller.
Oh, I know, he gave you Josh Allen, right? Yeah, that was the trade.
Yeah, and it was when I acquired Josh Allen, the first week I was able to start him with was against the Jets, and that's when he threw like four interceptions, and I was like, oh my god, I just sent away two picks for this, or two first round picks for this. But what have I done?
Wow, so you're gonna face Miller with Josh Allen going against the Jets again? Well,
maybe week. Or bench him, and then Josh Allen goes off. It's like,
I'll need the boys' help here with this one next, when we get to the preview. But yeah, it's we'll get there.
Good luck, Deez. Can't help you there.
Yes, you can. We'll talk about it. What do you mean you can't help me? Yes, you can.
I'll try to, man. Can't trust Godwin, right? All right, on to Joe's side. Brock Purdy, decent numbers there, 13 points. James Conner does not find the end zone in this game, but still manages to put up 12 points. he got a 2-point conversion in there. That's why. Okay. All right. Aaron Jones gets hurt in the middle of the game. Christian Kirk, 8.8 points, only 4 receptions for 88 yards. So not too many targets, but made the most of it. Mike Evans, the captain.
Bullshit.
Five receptions, 62 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's expected, I guess. Travis Kelce coming back to life a little bit here. 9 receptions, 70 yards. No touchdown yet, right, on the season? I don't think so. Yeah, no touchdown the season yet.
You're right.
We'll see when we get our first touchdown there. And I think this is the first game that we see Taylor Swift in the building so far this season.
I thought she's been there.
Yeah, she's been really? There.
She's been there.
They can't. Okay. Yeah, they it's their go-to when they're at the Arrowhead Stadium.
Okay. It's the first time I saw her. McLaurin, Scary Terry, Troubling Terry is what he nicknamed him. Not so troubling, I guess, if he's putting up 112 yards. He did lose a fumble in that game, but still managed to put 9.4 points. Youngwei Koo, solid numbers, 16.4, and Green Bay's defense.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about the Thursday night Koo, the fucking 50-yard overtime forcing. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Clutch.
Yeah, and Joe. So Joe, as we know, is a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. So on top of playing me and having Bucks players for fantasy, like, he messaged me the day after the game and was like, "Man, like, I'm so upset with Tampa Bay. They could have handled things totally different." He's like, "And they had Mike Evans wide open that he would have pulled in another touchdown." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay that didn't happen. Like, you forget we're playing each other in fantasy? Like, love you guys, but back off." I'm so mad right now.
I forgot that was the comment you made, that you should have put the bet on the trifecta for Mike Evans in that week.
Yeah. I don't think anyone hit 3 touchdowns this week.
Yeah.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
A couple twos.
Yeah.
2 twos.
Anyway.
Yeah. Nice. Notable players on the bench, Austin Eckler, 9.7, beat his projection, and Kyle Fairbairn and Jake Ferguson beating their projections on there. I don't think we don't really talk much about the kickers.
Yeah, and drop a kicker. You don't need 2 kickers.
And the tight end, we did talk about Kelce's value kind of going down, just not because of Mahomes, along with Mahomes going down as well. But I don't think we would have started him over Jake Ferguson. And I don't think we ever talked about that.
You wanted to bench Kelce for Ferguson. For Schultz. You wanted to bench Kelce for Dalton Schultz.
Damn, yeah. You see? I can't give you advice, Deez.
Yeah, maybe right.
Or how about I give it to you? Just do the opposite. How about that?
Well, the one piece of advice we said just for the psychological play was to put Atwell in there for Juwan Jennings, which it would have been a 5-point increase.
Yeah.
But at least if he had done that, you could have like rested easier knowing the Ramondre thing wouldn't have mattered as much. But he didn't, that. So it was almost worse.
Yeah.
Well, D's at the end of this. Sorry, man, you dropped down 2-3, and Joe improves to 3-2.
Moving on to the final matchup, which I coined on the preview that this might have been this was going to be the matchup of the week. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I think we had another one that was a little bit more high scoring, a little bit more close. But nonetheless, here we have Mario coming away with the win, 118.94 to Fonz's 68.88. Fonz was
missed out, Fonz.
31 under projection, and Mario was 17 over. Oh, cool. I'm starting on Fonz's side with the stack. Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, a bit underwhelming for them, but also just for that entire game in general. I mean, not much else to say. Dak lost a fumble, threw a pick. Just a game.
I just think that's the duality of Dak. Like, he is the reason you win and lose.
He did win, though.
Oh,
right. That was very surprising. It sucked because, yeah, seeing that I didn't get excited getting Dak throwing that touchdown to Tolbert at the end of the game. And it's just because, for like, what does it matter?
All I saw is our draft pick getting worse.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was cool to see it, but then, yeah, it just came back to reality. Sorry, Deez. Go ahead. Continue.
No worries. You know, Dak Prescott just demolished one of his old houses I saw on social media today. So maybe he was just really mad about how he performed, and better days are ahead. Who knows? I don't know.
Wow. He demolished it?
I'm pretty sure that's like a recent video. It's not old, but or maybe it was a joke. I don't know. I need to start doing credit checks on more some research. Of these. Yeah, like valid research on what's real and what isn't. But Kyren Williams continues to impress and put up pretty amazing numbers. Running back 4 on the year, 22 carries, 102 yards rushing on a touchdown. Did lose a fumble, but you know, still 14.5 is solid for running backs. Jordan Mason, 14 carries, 89 yards. Did lose a fumble, only 7 fantasy points. You're used to seeing 15 plus. He's hit that 3 times in the last 5 weeks, but I don't think there's anything to worry about there because they don't have anyone else really. Until CMC comes back in week, you know, fucking 21. I don't know. hang on. Lost my screen. Bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with me.
While you trample that up, yeah, I was pretty upset that Jordan Mason was pretty consistent over 15, including, I think, getting a touchdown at least in every game. And, of course, I go against Mario, and the opposite of what I said was going to happen. reverse curse.
Brick wall.
Here. Yeah.
I already mentioned CeeDee Lamb, very meh day, only 62 yards, no touchdowns. Chris Olave is another one, man. Like I was watching the game and like looking at the box score, and obviously I was following y'all's matchup, and I was like, man, when is the needle going to move here? Like, when are they going to get him involved? Finishes 4 targets, 2 catches, 10 yards, 1 fantasy point.
I hate Derek Carr. I hate him for this exact reason. God.
Yeah.
Should've stayed with the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a chemistry lack thereof. I don't know. But Derek Carr is obviously injured now. You have a Spencer Rattler coming in, the rookie, to start for next week. And I think he did like a media day or interview, and he had mentioned, he called out Chris Olave specifically and was like, I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, basically like, yeah, you have to get Chris Olave the ball, or I have to do that, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I do remember. I'm sorry. It just triggered to me. You're right. They asked him, was like, what do you think about Chris Olave? And he's just like, anytime I'm on the field, my first thought is to get him the ball.
Yeah. So in my head, I'm thinking like, okay, if I was a Chris Olave owner, what would I be doing right now? And obviously the game had just ended. I'm so done with this guy. Moving to my bench, or I'm going to try to move him, right? But then you see something like the rookie quarterback saying stuff like that, Spencer Rattler. And then I think like, well, I'm back in the game, baby. Like, here we go. Like, better days are ahead. Like,
and there's a lot of green for Olave at the end of the second half of this season. So I gotta stick to it.
Hold steady. Yeah. I think it does get better.
Yeah.
That's Chris Olave. Dalton Kincaid, again, Josh Allen was poopy. Targeted 6 times, 2 receptions, 34 yards. Dontavian Wicks, 7 targets, only 2 catches and 20 yards. And I think Dontavian Wicks was one of the, when we were trying to build your lineup, Fonz, he was the one that I think you mentioned. You're like, I absolutely want to get him in. You were trying to make some roster moves and limited on what you could do on the spot. But I think that was one of the first sure plays that you were adamant about starting. Yeah. Bucky Irving, kind of along the same lines. He, you know, 9 carries, 44 yards, did lose a fumble, finishes the day with 3.6 fantasy points, which doesn't help cut the case.
Sucky Irving.
Yeah, and then, you know, finish off with your kicker and Saints defense. Only finished the day with 4 points. And I think the other defense you had was Chiefs defense, and I didn't see what they finished with. I don't know if it was any better, actually, but don't think it would have made the difference with the deficit that you finished the day with. But some bright spots on your bench. Bo Nix, threw for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and also had a rushing touchdown, finished with 23 fantasy points. And the main ones I wanted to talk about was DJ Moore on the bench, DJ Moore and Brandon Ayuk. DJ Moore finished with 5 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Brandon Ayuk finished with 8 catches, 147 yards. No touchdowns, but volume.
God damn.
And I'm trying to remember, and I did listen to it, our show earlier today, and I was trying to think of why. Was it because the Bears offense, and we didn't want to start receivers against the Panthers defense, or we're waiting for Caleb Williams to prove a little bit more there? Is that why we sat DJ Moore?
No, I was just because I like the matchup with Dontavian Wicks better, with Romeo Dobbs being out, Christian Watson being out. And it's just like, oh yeah, this is an easy start. Dontavian Wicks is against the Rams, who just let other QBs throw all over them. Like, this is easy. And I think it would have been if he just capitalized on the 7 targets and not dropped the ball 5 times. But I think it was just that DJ Moore with Caleb Williams, how bad he was playing. I just didn't trust that. And then of course Brandon Ayuk. My first week acquiring him, and he goes off.
Well, and I was in that camp too. I'm the one. I also told you, like, hey, I think sitting and waiting on the bench is the right play until more development is made on kind of where the targets are going, how they're dispersed a little bit better in the coming weeks. So I was in that same camp of like, nah, I think you should bench him. And yeah, had a pretty solid day, as we know. Debo did not, so that's kind of where the volume went, and he was the main recipient of. Really that passing game that they had that day. So there's one other thing I was going to mention. I'm drawing a blank here. Maybe the tell would have been that, and I'll jump to Mario's side here shortly, but like, because Mario didn't start Caleb Williams, and there's been this running conversation of whatever quarterback Mario starts, that will be the worst of the three that he has, Geno Smith, Justin Fields, and Caleb Williams. And maybe, Fonz, that would have been the tell, like, oh, you're not starting Caleb Williams. Maybe I need to start all the Bears receivers that I have, which in your case would have been DJ Moore. But
yeah, should have been the science. I didn't look at the science close enough.
I never do either until, unless it's, in retrospect. So I'm with you there. Any other notes on your side, Fonz? Just stop me along the way. We can get to them, but I'm going to jump on over to Mario's side. Mario did start Justin Fields, finished the day with just under 16 fantasy points. And as I alluded to, Geno Smith and Caleb Williams did have the better day, but Mario, won this by,
but still, points. 5 straight weeks. Shut up, Fonz.
Don't interrupt these. He
five
is talking.
Straight weeks. I could literally have closed my eyes and picked and done better. It's not that I'm not picking the best. It is that I am picking the worst of the three. Every single time, the odds of just like blindly choosing it are near impossible. I'm looking at data that shows me who should be the best and keep picking the worst one. So
Yeah, 5 for 5. Let's see if we can go for 6 next week.
We'll get to this in the preview, but I almost want you to just blindly pick on the preview. Like, okay, it's going to be this person, but then I'm willing to bet with just the way things play out, when week 6 ends, you're going to look at the data and be like, this guy was the one I should have started based on the data. And yep, this is who I should have started. Like, based on how.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! He's gonna keep getting it wrong.
We'll get it right eventually. We'll get it right. But yeah, like I said, you didn't really need it in this matchup. Breece Hall, 9 carries, 23 yards, 3.7 fantasy points. I think if you weren't Garrett Wilson, you know, didn't really have a solid day for fantasy. But I wouldn't say there's necessarily concern for Breece Hall. It's just I think these last 2 weeks now. Have been very underwhelming considering how he started the week, weeks 1 through 3, 13, 17, 14, and then 1.8, and this past week, 3.7. So the good news is I don't think, you know, it's not like he's not good or he's not doing what he's supposed to. I mean, you look at Braylon Allen, who's the other name in that backfield, and like, it's not any better. So it's like, it's still Breece's backfield. It's just that offense is just something wrong with it right now.
Yeah, two straight tough matchups at Minnesota and Denver, who might be the two best defenses in the league. Coach animosity, firing going on, an uncreative or non-creative play caller. A coach getting fired and not playing as bad defenses, I think it all goes up from here. But yeah, a couple bad weeks. Luckily, didn't cost you too much.
The good news is it would probably be worse without Aaron Rodgers, I think. I'm trying to think back to last year.
I don't know, man. It seems equally shit, but usually firing a coach gets like a jump start to some of the teams. So we'll see their upcoming schedule: Buffalo, Pittsburgh, New England, Houston. Not really that easy, but can't imagine it getting much worse. And I still just got to keep putting him in there.
Absolutely. Derrick Henry, 15 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. I'll repeat it again. And a touchdown for Fonz, for Derrick Henry, finishes the day with 15.6 fantasy points. Mr. Consistent, the king. You don't go against him. You don't bet against him. That's okay. The guy.
We'll see what happens next Fonz. Week, all right, bitch?
Oh, this is fucking deja vu. Yeah.
And then,
for 1 week, you don't need him. You need him, and now he's not going to perform. Oh, he's going to do nothing.
You didn't need him. Too. Yeah, you see, this is the second week that you didn't need him, all right? And now when you're going to need him,
he put up 30 in the one loss I had, so... F your little logic there.
Justin Jefferson, 14 targets, 6 catches, 92 yards, no touchdowns, and it's the first week that he hasn't scored a touchdown, still finished the day with 9.2 fantasy points. Still great. It's JJ. That's just what it was this week. Need for Reed. Did I say that? Oh, yeah. Need for speed. Need for Reed. 2 carries, 19 yards, 4 catches, 78, 9.7. Is becoming a cornerstone on your team, Mario. You just have all the right receivers. I'm super jelly. And I think the big name here, the other pass catcher in Green Bay, tight end Tucker Kraft, 4 catches, 88 yards, not one, but 2 touchdowns, 20.8 fantasy points. And I think that was a waiver wire acquisition, if I'm not mistaken, from the prior week. Yeah.
It was a substantial one. This is actually me jumping in front of being on the wrong side of fate too many times, because Tucker Kraft is somebody I had highlighted for me like in the offseason of his rookie year. But I just kind of looked at it and was the same reason I like neglected Puka Nacua, because he had a stupid name and was drafted so late. And like, they got Cooper Kupp and then too many other playmakers. Like, it's not going to be a thing. I looked at Kraft and I go, they drafted Luke Musgrave ahead of him. They have Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wiggs, Romeo. It's just so crowded. Nobody even thinks Jordan Love is good at this point. And so the season played out. You know, he got a little bit involved, but nothing crazy. And I was like, it doesn't really matter. Well, then going into week 4, I thought about him a little bit because I sort of started noticing that he was getting more time. And then he had a really nice peripheral in week 4. I think he had 9 targets where he had 3, 2, 3 the first 3 weeks. He had 9. And I was like, oh, fuck, I should have known. Like, this was me killing something and it coming back to get me. So I was like losing sleep on waiver wire night the night before. So I put in a substantial amount just to guarantee I got him. I think I put like $28, 28% of your whole budget. just to get him. The next highest bid was $7,000, but you know, I bought the peace of mind at the very least. And of course, the week after I had a chance to not get him, the blow up comes. So that was me suffering misery too many times to just kind of read the leaves and know what fate was going to try to do to me, and just cutting right in front of it and making the right play at the right time.
Good on you. Tucker Kraft's 20.8 fantasy points is 52% of his total fantasy points on the year. And he is, after this week, tight end 2 on the year. So this is crazy. I keep saying it, but the tight end landscape this year is just wild to me. But yeah,
good. That's how much tight end sucks. That's how much tight end sucks. Yeah. You have one good game and you're top 4 right away.
Yep. Exactly. Javonte Williams coming to life a little bit. 13 carries, 61 yards, 5 catches for 50 yards. Was he a starter when we did the preview for you?
No, it was no. Shakir, but Shakir was a late scratch, so he was just a kind of force.
Nice. Put in. Worked out. Tyreek Hill, again, Dolphins offense not the same without Tua. But Tyreek did still targeted 10 times, 6 catches, 69 yards. You leave him in, I don't think you can bench him, but coming up on a bye week and you hope after Tua's healthy enough to come back. I'm trying to think of when they put him on IR and if it's that 4 weeks is up or not after the bye.
Right. They go on bye and I think one more game and then he's eligible after that. But I mean, we'll see. He got the 10 targets. So, I mean, you'll take it even though not quality targets, whatever.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, Commanders kicker comes through for you with 10 points, and Denver defense, of course, 16 fantasy points. So everyone, for the most part, clicked on your team, pulled out the win, looking through the bench. Caleb Williams, 23.5 fantasy points. Geno Smith, 22.5 fantasy points. And I think that was a specific call out when we did the preview. It's like, and not to toot my own horn, but I think I was like, man, like I kind of want to, I'm kind of thinking Geno Smith over Justin Fields, but yeah, maybe not Justin Fields. And then Mario, you pulled out a stat of like the last time Geno played the Giants and you had the same thought or the same, you know, process to get there. And you were like, yeah. And then he just ended up having a not so great game. So you're not doing that again. Again, wouldn't have mattered, but if we're playing this game of like, who's the better quarterback to start? It's just we're going to nail it one of these weeks.
Always wrong. I already know he's in the starting lineup next week, but yeah, Geno wasn't supposed to be throwing. He wasn't supposed to be throwing the ball. Like they were supposed to be blowing out the Giants and they get a defensive touchdown early. That's what's supposed to happen. Giants don't have Malik Nabers. Danny Dimes has been okay, but they don't have their starting running back in Singletary. They're starting a fifth round rookie and Darius Slayton and Wandale catch the ball and go 3 yards Robinson. That was their whole offense, and the fucking Giants win that game at Seattle, just defying all logic by doing that. So, of course, Geno has to air it out and throw and runs it for 72 yards on top of all that shit. So, whatever. I'm most annoyed. I've started Caleb Williams 3 times this season in the first 4 games. The one game I didn't start him was the best fantasy game of his career. The second time I didn't start him, now the new best fantasy game of his career, and all the talk is, oh, something has clicked in Caleb Williams. It looks like he's figured it out. I'm like, I can tell you exactly what fucking clicked, and I can make it happen again next week if I want to.
I'm telling you, we're going to get this right. We're going to get this right. next week's the week. We're going to get this right. Other name I wanted to mention, Rico Dowdle on your bench, 20 carries, 87 yards, 2 receptions for 27 and a touchdown, 17.4 fantasy points. And I believe that's his highest total possibly ever, for fantasy, probably. Which looks to be about right. So hopefully, you know, just that backfield hasn't been fantasy relevant, through 5 weeks. And this is the first sign I think of like a, hey, maybe we have something here and we'll stick with it. But again, it was just an odd game just to begin with. But again, to have that on your bench is got to feel good.
Nice depth piece.
For sure. That's about it. The only other thing I wanted to mention, Mark Andrews has his best game of the year. Targeted 5 times, 4 catches for 55 yards.
Yeah, suck it.
Who's sucking it?
Well, he's got a viable option at tight end now, so maybe Mark Andrews is the past, and we can look forward for Kraft here. Ford with Craft.
We'll see. We'll
think you're
see.
Safe, Mario. Huh?
It is still a very, crowded receiver room in there. Just a positive sign for Kraft if he's going to get that many targets. But, yeah, Andrews. There was one point he caught the ball and got and like fell down at the two because he's fucking clunky as hell. And I was like, "Don't you fucking do it? Don't you get up?" This is before Tucker Kraft had played, but it looked like he was going to get up and walk into the end zone. Luckily, so damn cumbersome that he was too slow to get up and do it. But. And then who's that other guy? Kolar. It's the guy that looks just like Mark Andrews, but it's not Mark Andrews. He gets the touchdown. Three tight end touchdowns for the Ravens on Sunday, and zero of them were Mark Andrews.
Suck it.
Suck it which way? Suck it for Benjamin or suck it through?
Just suck it, all right, dude?
Yeah, but with that, again, Mario gets the win here and does improve to 4-1 while Fonz drops to 3-2.
That's right, Fonz.
Take it easy.
And those are our week five matchups. Recaps of our week five matchups.
What's in these standings now?
Good call, Fonz. New standings. Coming in at number 12, 0-5 is Miller. At 1-4 is Isaac. Sitting at 2-3, we got four teams. Starting at number 10 is Scott. Then Warwick. Big Willie style down to 8th place. Jose, second most points in the league, is sitting at 7th at 2-3. Then Fonz, you are technically in 6th at 3-2, but if the playoffs were to start, Jose does have more points than you, so you got to do some record climbing. Then comes Joe in 5th at 3-2, Justin at 4th at 3-2. Noe comes in at 3rd, 4-1. Noe, some of that's matchups, some of that's showing up when he needs to, but he is 4-1. I guess I will share this stat. He looks to be in 9th place in total offense. So maybe a little bit of a little bit of scheduling there, but we'll see what shakes out. Then I am sitting at 4-1 also in 2nd place, and then Castro kind of running away with the offense here. Number 1 in points, number 1 in record at 4-1 as well.
It's like deja vu. I've read this story before when Castro comes away number 1 seed, top offense, and I can't remember how it ends, but I remember how it ends.
That's Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly putting 30 on him in the playoffs. That's how it ended. Anyway, all right, we went way too long on this one. Our preview will probably be a little bit quicker if we have anything to say about it, but yeah, thanks for staying with us if you did. And we'll see you on the week 6 preview.
All right. Good night, everybody.
See ya.